Praise God. I am family. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. You're not going to have somebody preach and run. Okay. I'll have to live through everything that I say. But you'll see me next week. Amen. Praise God. And the questions will come. Whatever those questions may be. Praise God. Well, we pray that the peace of God will just be with you today. Amen. Praise God. You came ready to receive today. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. You hungry for the word of God?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. Just give me a couple of seconds as I get myself set up here. Praise the name of Jesus. If you please stand as we approach the word of God. We're going to turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord knows where I'm going today. I want to keep up with him. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. 1 John 4 and 4 says this. Ye are of God, little children. And I've overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you.
Yes.
Than he that is in the world. Let's say that again. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them.
Yes.
Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Thank
Amen.
Lord.
You can be seated. Let us quote that, right?
Hallelujah.
Let's say, greater is he that is in me.
Greater is he that is in me.
Than he that is in the world.
Than he that is in the world.
Well, still some people don't believe it here. Say, greater is he that is in me.
Greater is he that is in me.
Than he that is in the world.
Than he that is in the world.
I don't think you got it yet. Greater is he that is in me.
Greater is he that is in me.
Than he that is in the world.
Than he.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to ask you permission today. I'm going to quote from some of my mentors. Amen. Praise God. If you don't know, I'm a graduate of Rhema Bible College. Praise God. In 1998, I graduated from Rhema Bible College, the same Bible school that, and through the ministry of Rhema, where we receive our ordination as ministers of the gospel.
Yes.
And we just praise God. Amen. For the place we came from.
Yes.
Amen. And so I'm going to quote from some of my mentors today. Why? Because I am not a product of myself. I didn't sit back and pick up the word of God and learn everything just by myself. And I want to tell you, you're not going to be that either. You're going to have to learn some things from some people. Amen? Praise God. And God has anointed men and women of God. And I say men and women of God because we believe that women can bring forth the word also here.
Yeah, amen.
If you're confused about that, this is a place. If God has moved in your spirit, that you can bring forth the word. And God is going to just give people in your life who's going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask you permission. Is it all right for me to quote from some of my mentors? Amen?
Yes.
To quote one of our, we call our fathers in the faith, is Reverend Kent E. Hagin, who we affectionately call Brother Hagin. He says, what do you care what you face if the greater one is in you? What do you care if you what you face if the greater one is in you? If you truly get a glimpse of God that is inside of you, no person or no circumstance will cause you to worry, be discouraged, or feel defeated. Confess with me again. Greater is he,
greater is he
that is in me,
that is in me
than he that is in the world.
Praise
God. That should well up in your spirit. You should get excited about that.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You should get really excited about that. Woo!
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He's in you is greater. Greater than your circumstance. Greater than the problem you were thinking about when you came here. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Are you being able to put that aside and realize the greater one is in you? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
What do you care what you face if the greater one is in you? Praise God. Brother Hagin also stated, worry will kill you. More than one doctor, he says, has said to me, and I've read in periodicals, there are more people in mental institutions, and there are more people in the grave because of worry than any other one thing. What do people worry about? Circumstances. They worry about tomorrow. They worry about the things they face. And he says, I've been tempted to worry about tomorrow and about the things I knew I faced. But then I remembered what the Bible said is inside of me. I didn't even have to pray about it. I just looked troubles, seemingly impossibilities, in the face. And I couldn't help from laughing. Praise God. Let's laugh. Think about your problem. Just laugh. Why? Because the greater one is inside of you. Hallelujah. You can laugh. That thing that seems to be insurmountable, you can laugh at it. You know, sometimes you need to start in the flesh and you get into the spirit.
Yes.
Which means that you need to start laughing.
Yes.
Even if you don't feel like laughing. And believe me, you will roll right into the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
Think of a circumstance in your mind that you're dealing with. Just say, ha! Give it a big laugh, amen. Praise God. Why? Because greater is He that's in me. Glory to God. Than He that's in the world. I can laugh at that problem. I can laugh at that circumstance. Because greater is He that's in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin also said, if I don't make it over you, if I don't make it over you, his problem he's talking about, I'll make it around you. If I don't make it around you, I'll make it under you. If I don't make it under you, I'll make it through you. Because the greater one is in me.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
On the other side.
Can you say that?
Amen.
Say, if I don't make it over you,
if I don't make it over you,
I'll make it around you.
I'll make it around you.
If I don't make it around you,
I'll make it under you.
If I don't make it under you,
I'll make it through you.
Because the greater one is in me.
Yes.
Which means I'm going through.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm going through.
Yeah.
You're not going to stop me. You're not going to stop me. You're not going to stop me.
Yeah,
I'm going
right.
to go forth in Jesus' name.
Yeah, that's right.
Praise
that's
God.
Right. That's right.
If those who are watching us today don't know who I am, I'm Reverend Ennis Jackson. I'm not the pastor of the church. He'll be here next week. Please come back. Please come back and hear him. Okay? So just so some people get confused, especially online, he was asking me, Pastor asked me to share this morning. For the last several weeks, we have been addressing the subject of prayer. And I've been asked to talk about the action that must accompany our faith when we pray. I've been asked to talk about the action that must accompany our faith when we pray. Praise God.
Yeah.
Brother Hagin also said this. You won't get the blessings of God just because you have faith.
Ooh.
You won't get healed or baptized in the Holy Spirit just because you have faith. Some people say, what is he saying now? You won't get the answers to prayer just because you have faith. Most Christians think they will, but they are wrong. The Bible does not teach it. The Bible teaches that you get saved because you believe and you say something. Not just because you believe. Romans 10, 9, and 10 says this. Praise God. It says that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Right?
Thank you, Lord.
For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Yes.
That's right.
You know, something? When I was reading this, I was thinking about Matthew 8:29, when Jesus was facing the one who was full of demons, the man of the Gadarenes. You know, they believed that Jesus was God. Okay? But are they going to be saved? So it's not just enough to believe. In fact, when they came to him, when Jesus came to the man, they screamed out and they said, "Thou Son of God, Jesus, have you come to torment us before our time?" They said, "Son of God." So they knew who he was.
Yes.
But they're not going to be saved. Why? Because they won't confess Jesus as Lord. So you can believe something, But your mouth must cooperate with your belief. Mm. And it must come out of your mouth. You need to say something. Mm. You know, as many people say, well, yeah, I believe in God. But have they confessed Jesus as Lord? Some people are thinking they're going to heaven because they say, I believe in God. A lot of people believe in God. But some have not made a confession to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's getting too quiet here. Praise Him.
Keep going.
Hallelujah. The corresponding action of faith is words. Mm. The corresponding action of faith is words. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mark 11:22-24 says this. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. But let's look into the middle part of this verse. It says here that whosoever says, irregardless of the mountain they're talking about, whoever says, speaks with their mouth, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes those things he says, it will be done. He will have whatever he says. Whatever you say, so basically we're saying, you will have what you speak, your words. I want to tell you today, that's a positive and a negative.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
If you believe in your heart something and you say it out loud, you'll have it. That's a spiritual principle that God has outlined. If you believe something and you say it, you'll have it.
Come on.
So you need to speak things that you really want. Okay? And if you believe in it, if you really want it, you need to speak those things. Now, how do we know this? You know, there was a whole industry when I was coming up. People were coming up. In fact, I was in a multi-level marketing thing, and they had us read a book said, What You Say When You Talk to Yourself. And I think it's Gail Carnegie. Talking about the importance of saying things and what effect they have. You know the whole adage, you speak to your kid, you tell them they're no good for nothing, what have you, and they'll never get to any place, what happens? They'll believe they're no good for nothing, and they won't get to no place. Why? Because you spoke it. What are we saying? What is proceeding from our mouth? Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit. Will eat his fruit. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Matthew 12:37 says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The scripture emphasizes the importance of words. Faith is always expressed in words.
Yeah.
It's always expressed in words. You must release words through your mouth when you're expressing faith. You must release words. Praise God. Hebrews 4:14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We need to speak forth what we believe, but we need to hold fast to it. Which means that we need to keep saying the same thing.
Yeah.
When you believe in God for something, and you've prayed it through, and you're confessing it, you need to hold fast that confession. For instance, hallelujah. Oh, let me hold that back for a minute. We must hold fast with and say the same thing. That means we must use strength. We must seize it. We retain what you confess. Never give up. Some things require a fight.
Yeah. Come on, that's good.
Timothy 6 and 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The words you speak every day in life, in your home, mm-hmm. at work, mm-hmm. these everyday words do three things. Three things. The words you speak identify you.
Yeah.
The words you speak set boundaries of your life. The words you speak affect your spirit, your inner man. You know, I can easily locate a person's faith by just letting them talk. Mm-hmm. You can easily locate somebody's faith by just letting them talk. What are they saying? Mm. You believe in God for something, I watch what you say. Because then I know if you're ready to pray. Mm. Are you really ready to pray? Mm-hmm. You know, are you coming believing that you receive? Mm-hmm. Or are you just saying that because you think that's something nice I should hear when I pray for it? Mm-hmm. Amen. You can easily locate somebody. You know, sometimes we need to take some time and listen to the people who are talking to us so we know how to pray for them. Because we are locating them. You don't hear any scripture. You don't hear no praise. You see no exhortation. You hear no thanksgiving. They're in trouble. Come on. They're in trouble. And you should be praying for them. And you need to be listening to them because their words identify them. Brother Hagin said this. Too many people are looking for somebody to do something for them. I can't fight your fight. Mm. And you can't fight my fight. Mm-hmm. You'll have to fight your own fight. The words are so important. You need to realize that they set boundaries of your life. You will never realize beyond the words you speak. You will never have anything beyond your own words. Oh, let me say that again, because maybe y'all ain't get this. You'll never realize anything beyond the words you speak. Mm-hmm. You'll never have anything beyond your own words. Mm-hmm. What comes out of your mouth is going to set your destiny. What comes out of your mouth will set where you will be in the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. You need to watch your mouth. You have to understand that everything you see around you happened from words. Clearly in John 1, in verse in 1, it says, in the beginning was God. And as you go down, it says, nothing created until God said, let there be.
Yeah.
Nothing happened. And see, what we don't understand, that the spiritual is more real than the physical. You see, just because we ignore our spirits, we don't understand that if it doesn't happen in the spirit, it ain't going to happen in the natural. Mm. Okay, it's too much. All right, let us bring it back to prayer. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, turn to that. I'm going to help you out here.
Good teaching, preacher.
Hallelujah. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing. Woo, I love that.
Yes.
Be careful. I like it in King James, please. Be careful for nothing. Mm. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer, here, you see, prayer and supplication, those are two types of actual prayer. So, but prayer right there, dealing with blessing and adoration, and supplication leads us to the issue of petition, asking God for something specific. Okay? What you need from Him. Somebody says, and you have some people who, you know, they just love God. He knows my need. I don't need to tell him. Wrong? If you don't ask him, you ain't going to get it. God will not go against your will. You don't give him permission, you don't ask him, you're not going to get it. Don't talk this stuff like, oh, he knows my need, I don't need to ask. That's nonsense. Word of God doesn't teach that. You need to ask. You need to ask. Ask.
Yes.
And it shall be given you.
Yes.
Seek and you shall find.
Yes.
Knock and the door shall open up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Every man who asks it is going to receive.
Mm. Yes.
You have to ask.
Yes.
You got to open your mouth and ask.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I may be sitting on the couch and I really love to have something to drink. Wife's in the kitchen. I really like something to drink. Oh boy, I really like something to drink. She's in the kitchen. She knows she has everything at her disposal. There's some ginger ale there. There's some water there, whatever. But I'm sitting in the couch, and I'm not asking her. Guess what happens? Nothing. Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right? Until I say, sweetheart, can you give me some ginger ale? Sweetheart, can you give me some water? And then the water will come. Amen. God is a gentleman. You don't ask, he ain't giving it to you. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't ask because we can settle for not getting it.
Oh, come on.
That's Pastor right. Christine told us, expect when you ask an answer.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
See?
Yes.
No, you have to ask. But, you know, I have to take a little side journey. This is a side note. It's not part of the message, but I got to take a side journey because I love this part where it says, be careful for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 6 and 25 to 29 says this, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life.
Glory.
Oh, man, but God gets me so happy because he tells me don't even take thought for my life.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
Amen.
Wow. Don't even take thought.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Yes, he's going to take care of us. Don't mean that we don't have to act.
Yes.
But he says, don't be so consumed about what you need.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the kind of God, that's the kind of provision he wants to provide for us.
Yes.
Don't even be consumed about what you need. He says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or yet your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And behold, the fowls of air, for they sow, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And ye are much more better than they are. You know, we have these deer outside where we live, and we come by and we see them out. Now, I don't live in a rural area. I live in a place where, in fact, I live right next to the FBI. Anyway, in my town. But anyway, and they just covered, we saw a family of like five of them, right? And you know, it hit me. I said, it's cold out here. And they're alive. How, what are they eating? I was just so amazed. I just sat there, I was like a drive by and said, that's being taken care of somehow.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the kind of God who wants to provide for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
He's not absent.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't care what you're going through. He's not absent.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
But have you asked?
Mm.
Have you gone up to him and said, Lord, I need this.
Mm.
Praise God.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with asking. Praise God. You have to ask. Praise God. Let's go back to our prayer. When we're talking about prayer and your speech. We're talking about prayer and speaking.
Yeah.
Going back to this verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing once again, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving.
Yes.
This is the first thing you need to start talking about.
Mm.
That your mouth must be filled with thanksgiving.
Yes.
Whenever you approach God, you must have words of thanksgiving in your spirit.
Mm.
Why are you thanking him? Because you believe that you received, that means that it's on its way.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hallelujah. You believe
that
God is definitely going to meet your need.
Mm, yeah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You already know that. So you start with words of thanksgiving. That's what you need to start speaking. Words of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. I ask anything of the Lord be filled with words of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, what you have done, already done.
Mm.
Yes. Now here's where we really get jammed up. Mark 11, 22 and 24. We're going to go back to that just briefly. It says, so Jesus answered and said, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he shall have what he said. Now we heard this. It says, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.
Yes.
Okay. This is where we get jammed up. The scripture says you will have them. But the question is, when? That's where we at. This is where we get jammed up. When will we have them? When will we have them? Does the scripture say when we'll have them?
No.
No, it doesn't. This is where you have that period of silence.
Mm.
Okay? And I'm going to recommend a good book for you, Mastering Silence, in fact, from my one of our mentors, Reverend Doug Jones. We get caught up because we don't have the wind.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
But you must understand what you have asked for is already released in the spirit. But it needs to manifest in the flesh so you can access it. It's already been released. It's already been released.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go on too deep because I'm going to give you a study assignment. Praise God. Praise God. But what do you do while you wait? What do you do while you believe in God?
Yeah, come on.
And you're expecting the thing to manifest that you believe in God for. We speak and declare his promises in the midst of an onslaught of opposition to our claim in the spirit. When you are praying and asking God for something, you are making a claim in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, maybe you don't understand that. You go upstairs, you're in JCPenney or whatever thing, and you go and purchase something, but it's too big. It's not at the counter. They give you a ticket, and you have to go down to receiving and claim your item.
Yeah.
Right. Amen? Yeah. But in this case, God has already given us claim tickets to what belongs to us. And if you read the word, you find out what belongs to you. And all you have to do is take your ticket and start claiming, and you claim in the spirit.
Yeah.
You're making claims.
Yes.
Okay? Hallelujah.
Yeah,
but there's an onslaught of opposition when you make a claim. Oh, yeah. You don't know what I'm talking about.
No, yeah. Right.
2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5 says this. For we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There are strongholds that don't want you to get what you believe God for. There is.
Yeah.
There's opposition to it. God is not a counterfeiter. Okay? So, if you believe in God for some cash, he got to drop something in somebody's heart, and they have to say yes, and put that check in the envelope and send it to you, like we just got a check this morning. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But God's not a counterfeiter. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Yeah.
If you need something, God will get it to you. But it may take a little bit longer to get to you. Why? Because you have to convince somebody in the spirit to obey.
Mm.
So therefore, when God speaks to you, I like my wife. She turns to me every so often. She says, and she shows me some money that she's going to give somebody. Right? I look at it and I say, okay, I'm not going to mess with her faith. I just let her do it. Why? Because God spoke to her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I believe that God speaks to her.
Yeah.
And I let her do it. Why? Because something's come from me, glory to God.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to hold up my blessing by me not being in the flow of doing something for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Sometimes the devil tries to convince you not to do what you know you're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
Praise God. You know you're supposed to be doing it. You know that you went and God said to you, you see so-and-so, she's really in trouble. And God speaks to your spirit. He says, I only got this big bill in my pocket. I ain't do nothing about that. The Lord tells you, give it to him. I don't know about that, Lord. I don't know if I'm hearing from you, God. I don't know if I'm hearing from you. We don't know, right? Yeah. But God is talking to you. But when you put your claim in, there are imaginations. Verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Yeah.
There are imaginations that come down. There's things that come in your mind to tell you to do differently than what is already spoken to you. Okay? And these are the counter arguments that come to your mind to tell you that your claim doesn't belong to you.
Yes, right.
Do you hear what I'm telling you?
This is good.
These are the counter arguments that come to your mind to tell you that the claim doesn't belong to you. Hope you're hearing. Hope you're receiving. Hope you're receiving. Because the devil will know and want you to get. But we must use our armor.
Yeah.
We turn to Ephesians 6 for a moment. Go to this paragraph. Ephesians 6 says, finally, my brethren, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, although we operate in the flesh, there's real stuff happening that you don't see. And but if you read your Bible, you will know that. You need to read your Bible. Can I say it again? I read my Bible. Can everybody confess? I read my Bible. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Many times we read this particular scripture, we get so caught up in the metaphors dealing with this is for my head, this is for my chest, the breastplate, what have you. But if you really look at it, let me tell you what Reverend Jones, in his book, says, Mastering the Science. Reverend Doug Jones was one of my Bible teachers when I was in there. He's right now. Is he in charge of the Raymond Minister Association right now? Yes. He says this. He is simply, talking about Paul in Romans chapter 6, he said he is simply instructing us to put on daily what we know about our salvation. So when he talks about, when he's talking about the three things, what was it? Put on truth. The breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation. What God is actually telling us is to put on daily what we know about salvation. We are being admonished to put on what we know about righteousness. We are to put on what we know about truth, what we know about faith, and what we know about the gospel of peace. Simply, our armor that we are to put on is the armor of Bible knowledge.
Yeah.
That's the armor we have.
Yeah.
The armor of Bible knowledge. When we have put on what we know about these issues, and when we use our knowledge of these things properly, we will not be defeated by the wiles of the devil. His fiery darts will no longer carry out their destructive work in our lives. They won't carry out. You see, the purpose of imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself is to capture us in the cloud of worry, despair, discouragement, and depression. To keep us far away from faith. Faith is up. Oh, what do you mean? What I mean, faith is up. Faith is up. Faith is not down. Faith is up. If you're in worry and you're in despair, you ain't in faith yet. Faith is up. Why did I say faith is up? Because if you believe you receive, you know you're going to have it.
Yeah.
So what you're going to be distressed about? It's on its way. Glory to God. It's going to manifest. You're going to see it. It's going to happen. So faith is up. But we must understand that the devil is a liar. And his lies are offered to us through thoughts, ideas, and suggestions.
Yeah.
The battle usually is in our mind.
That's true.
It's through thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that get us to do something different than what God has said. You know, in Pastor Christine's rope illustration that she gave us just 2 weeks ago, she says, for the all, we must recognize our position. And in that particular case, she chose John 15 and 16, where he says, God, Jesus has chosen us. Our position is, he has chosen us. So because Jesus has chosen us, we can, then we know that when we go before him, he has chosen us. He gives us the right to go before him. Then in the O, she says to say out loud the name of Jesus. Say out loud the name of Jesus. She talked about the power of the name of Jesus. Then she says, then you, after you've done that, you present your request to God, which is the P. And then she said, expect an answer. You know, a rope is a tether. And what I mean a tether is that if you have had a balloon, you have a rope. If you let go of that rope, what happens to the balloon? That's it. Helium filled balloon. It's gone, right? You don't keep it to you. You can't grasp it. You can't bring it to you. If you have a boat docked, you use a rope to tether that boat so that boat doesn't go away.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
That's good.
It keeps the object close.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a rope, okay? And we want to continue to keep God close. But the central illustration of her illustration was that the main issue of it is using the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Using the name of Jesus. However, when you get these imaginations, the thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, they come with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you get miffed at somebody, right? Because they did something to you in church, right? They stepped on your toe or whatever it is. Right? And then you know that person was supposed to call you and didn't call you. So that becomes a friend. The friend starts to say, okay, see, they don't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And you start developing all this whole imagination about this sister or this brother. And you don't know the reason why they didn't call you. They were stuck overseas somewhere, and that's why they didn't call you in the time. But you start imagining all kinds of things. Why? Because when you are attacked in your thought life, attacked you, they always come with friends. Continue to multiply with friends.
Yeah.
Always things to support. Evidences. The devil wants to bring evidence to let you know that you're not supposed to believe that. You're not supposed to receive that.
Mm.
Come with evidences.
Mm-hmm.
So just like the name of Jesus, those evidences may come with names. Okay. And they bring more friends to capture your thoughts, your life, where you're fixed on, your problems, and not on God.
Mm.
Like outcomes by others declaring hopelessness to increase support and validity of their claim against your prayers. The ultimate aim is to get you to seek God when all else fails, when he should be your primary resource for all your needs.
Mm.
Many times what happens with us is that we're asking God for something. We're being attacked. We're getting all kinds of things. Symptoms come. We deal with those. What have you. And we don't open our mouth, of course. And then what happens is we start to formulate. Mm-hmm. Formulate. And then we take on the names.
Mm-hmm.
Take on the names of our diagnosis. You ever realize how long those names are? Those names are so long, they make the name of Jesus seem so small.
Mm.
And they begin to elevate themselves above the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of you praying, you're quoting those names. Somebody comes to you, you just tell them, this is what's going on with me, right? I caution you with names. Why? You don't have to tell everybody who you're praying for you, all your diagnosis names, and you don't have to be challenged, challenged when you pray. Just tell them every name. Give them all names. Why? Because you don't know. You tell them that name, they go home, They say they'll pray with you. And they go say, Adam, their husband said, you know that sister so-and-so has this, and I know somebody who had that, and this is what happened to them, and I'm going to tell you, oh, I don't know. So instead of praying, what are they doing? Mm. They're manifesting and they're rejoicing in the work of the devil. Mm. Sometimes you just need to tell them, hey, locate them, say, look, I got something on my leg. I need you just to pray wholeness in my leg in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Guess what you give them?
Yeah.
Why? Because if they ain't no doctor and they're not providing care for you, guess what? That much they can do for you is but pray.
Mm.
But if you keep giving them all these names, what begins to happen? You may mess up them. They may really handle it because they got a name.
Mm.
And they may lift that name up higher than Jesus.
Mm.
Watch how you throw out names. Hallelujah. Remember Jones says this. He says, as we turn toward the thought or the thing that comes to us, we begin to allow what we have found in God's word, which are our friends.
Mm.
We bring our friends to the thought.
Yeah.
To That's flow good. Out of our mouth.
Mm.
Yes, dear friend, if thoughts speak to us, then we must speak to them.
Mm.
We must use our mouth to begin to quote what the Bible says, and we must begin to quote what our armor says. Let your friends present their evidence. Your friends is the word of God. Use your voice. Mm. The more scriptures you gather, the more friends you are assembling.
Mm.
With your mouth, speak your evidence. If thoughts speak to us in order to capture us, then we must speak to them in order to capture them.
Mm.
Yes.
Amen.
That's good.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. We speak out of it.
Mm-hmm.
We got the word of God. Now this is a good time for a commercial. Okay. Okay. To grow, we need food. If we do not get the proper nutrition, our growth will be affected spiritually. The same is true spiritually. We need to be fed. If this is the only meal you're getting for the whole week, you are starving.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You're starving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you can make it. If this is the only spiritual meal you're getting the whole week, you're starving. And I don't want you to starve. Because you know, it's going to get rough out here.
Mm.
We're drawing closer and closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. And you think people, they don't like us now.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting all kinds of opposition to us as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
To our beliefs, having us to want to recant what we believe.
Mm.
We need to be prepared spiritually.
Amen.
So what I've done is I provided some suggested readings that probably could help us for over the 3 weeks. I provided this in the back. This happens to be, I have three books that are listed here. One is Words by Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin. If you have not read that book, you need to read it. It's a mini book. It looks like, it's small like this. Okay? It tells you how your word should be. I also have a book out there by Reverend Doug Jones called Mastering the Silence. You say, why am I promoting books? Why? Well, these are my mentors. You think I learned from them. And so I don't need to come up here and reteach and to try to disguise I didn't get some of my stuff from them. Because I did get it from them, right? Because they brought the word of God, and as they brought the word of God, I checked in on the word. Is it right? Yes, it's right. Okay, just because some people preach to me don't mean I don't check it myself. I'm like a Berean. I go in there, I check, okay, is this right? Is this right? You check it. And these particular books I've read, I'm checked. One's called Mastering the Science, dealing with you how to deal with your thought life.
Mm.
That's by Reverend Jones. Wonderful book. And there's a book by Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin called The Name of Jesus. That's a larger book, okay? And then I have in the front, if you are just coming to the Lord, you need this book called In Him. You need to pick this book up, okay? Because you need to know who you are in Christ. So the devil doesn't have you in despair or discouragement. Why? Because you don't know who you are.
Mm.
If you know who you are, you're not going to be in despair and discouragement. You're going to let everything that comes to you, the onslaught against you. Because the devil don't want you to be happy. He don't want you to be walking with joy.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes, yes.
If you're walking without joy, you're not going to be strong. Mm-hmm. That's Nehemiah 8:10 if you need to know. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so you need to have that. So, in fact, this is one of the pastor's favorite little booklets.
That's
here.
That's right.
In him. You need to pick this up. These are quick reads. I also have a QR code for the Rhema bookstore. And you can go and be able to go to the bookstore, because many of our stuff we will order from Rhema. And if you really are not electronic, you just talk to us. This is my disclaimer. It said, there are many offerings at the store. If you see a little title you are interested in, feel free to talk to the pastor so you can help you form a good diet of materials, especially if you are just starting to consume more biblical teaching. A good place to start at the Rhema bookstore is the mini books. They are a quick read. As you read them, have your Bible available to look up and read the passages from the Bible that are listed for your best spiritual nutrition. Please note, many titles can be purchased on Amazon for quicker delivery, for Kindle delivery, and check the bookstore for the best description of the titles. Okay? Yes, this wonderful instrument here, I love Kindle. Love Kindle. Late at night, when I'm woken up in the spirit, telling me to read something, I just open my phone, order it down on Kindle, and my wife can keep sleeping, and I'll be reading. Right? Love it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know something? No greater joy does a pastor have when he sees you growing and you're learning and you're have questions.
Amen.
If you don't have any questions, you're not growing. You're not learning. You should have questions when you read the Word of God. I sometimes I read the scripture and say, "Well, I don't know. Ooh, that's interesting. I don't know where that comes from." And it puts you through a deep dive, going from this scripture to that scripture. But if you're reading, you're going to learn. Mm-hmm. You need to develop a habit of receiving the Word of God in your life. You need to develop that habit. Why? Because it's going to be to your detriment if you don't have the Word of God in your life. Mm-hmm. Praise God. I'm going to close with two illustrations just to share with you how I handle some of these speaking. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. This particular scripture I use a lot when I have specifically, I call it my shower speaking. Okay? Now, why is it my shower speaking? It's because if you're dealing with something, maybe in your body, whatever, I want you to listen to this. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, 20. What? Know ye not what your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? See, there was an interesting transaction that happened when you received Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, you may not be aware of it, maybe because somebody showed you scripture, but you just signed a contract that your body not belongs to you anymore. Mm-hmm. It belongs to Jesus. And what you do in your body should be done to please him. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, it was said, no, you're not. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It belongs to the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. For you are bought with a price.
Yep.
There was a price paid for you now to live in your body down here.
Yeah.
Wow. Some people may ignore that even as Christians. Say, no, nobody tell me to do with my body. I do what I want. No, that's what it says. It says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God. So what does my shower speaking look like? I go before the Lord, and I start to wash myself up, and I say, Lord, this body is your temple. Hallelujah. Temple of the Holy Ghost. It don't belong to me. Amen. Now, I'm coming from a ghetto background, right? I was born and raised in the Bronx. Came up. Oh, God has brought me from a lordly long way. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And a single parent home, mother who worked at night, didn't see her. Didn't nobody help me with homework. Nothing. Okay? Grandmother and my grandmother disabled on the bed, getting up at night. Helping with bedpans and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, well, it was rough. But that's okay. That's okay. Jesus saved me around 13 or 14. The reason I say that is because I went to a day camp and I accepted the Lord in my life and nobody told me the importance of keeping that date. But that's okay. I knew I got saved. All right? And then what happened is this. So the thing is the Word of God is very important to me. And so when I got a hold of this verse, and when I brought the illustration about the where I live in the ghetto, is that back then we used to have what they call slumlords. You know that person you live in a house?
Yeah.
That means you got somebody don't take care of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so what happens? It goes down. It degrades. It gets messed up. I remember sitting in my grandmother's pad. She was living downstairs from us. I was upstairs, and they'd be setting fires in apartments. And we'd be rushing out to the inner courtyard. It was an inner courtyard just to keep us, it was just an inner courtyard. It used to be a garden there, but it was just, and so we'd be running out because, you know, we don't know when the firemen's gonna come, you know, back then, right? So, slumlords are bad. So when I'm in the shower, I said, Lord, my body's the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This temple is your house. Mm-hmm. And you're not a slumlord. Therefore, I can expect that this body is whole from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I speak to my knees. They don't ache. I speak to my arms. They don't ache. I speak to every part of my body while I'm in the shower. That's a good place to remind yourself to speak to any symptom, anything that's going on.
That's good.
You speak to those things. Say, no. Not accepting that.
That's right.
Brother Hagin was very funny. He always says, I've never had a headache in 45 years. And said, if I had a headache, I won't tell you. Why? Because he don't want you to talk him into having a headache. Because when a headache will try to come on him, he said, you don't got a place here. And he was speaking. And he will speak forth. The reason I'm saying that is you get different outcomes in prayer areas you exercise your faith more in. If you exercise your faith in this particular area, you begin to have more success with it, okay? Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm going to tell you that because one particular area that I've exercised my faith for most of my life, is most of my career life, is in my computing and my programming. Because I'm a data analyst during the day. I do coding and different things like this. But I didn't go to school for it. Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Praise God. Praise God. I'm a director of systems at the Montgomery School Health Program, and I'm not going to tell you what grade level I got to, because I didn't. And what I've done is the Lord has, I don't know how he's done it, he brought me to this place. Why? Because when I don't understand something, I said, Holy Ghost, you understand everything.
Yes. Yes.
Everything.
Yes. Yes.
You understand the code I need to write here?
Yes.
You understand the logic I need to have here? And sure enough, when I start speaking that and I start claiming that, the inspiration comes and I get the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I know it for a fact. You can't even convince me in this area already.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I have a problem, I say, Holy Ghost, you already know.
Yeah.
I need to get this right. I'm going to show you a particular incident. I'm dealing with, there was one of my early incidents is that I was at this clinic and I was processing this Medicaid tape for reimbursement. It was over $200,000. Something happened in the system, messed up. I didn't know what to do. I said, Holy Ghost, you know I'm going to get blamed for this. Because that tape didn't go out. And no reimbursement for $200,000 is not going to come in. I said, Holy Ghost, you got to get me to make this tape work so I can get this tape out. So that was way back in, I don't know, what is it, 79 or back then. I said, that was the first one. And I said, Holy Ghost, you got to show me. Sure enough, inspiration comes, fix the problem, tape going out, glory to God. Hallelujah. Most recent thing, I'm dealing with a vendor who changed their terms of service. They come to us and tell us, and the site says, okay, you've only been paying $4,800 a year to use this software, but we don't like the way you're using it. You're calling your people at your job, your customers, and they're not your customers, they're your users. And so we want to now charge you a certain amount of money for every one of them per month. They came up with this figure. They wanted to jump the increase from $4,800 to $40,000 a year. You know what's going to happen with that, right? That ain't going to happen. Job is not going to do that. We're not for profit. We're not going to do that. I work for a hospital institution. That's not going to happen. So I say, Holy Ghost, you have to show me how to continue to keep all the things I've coded and created over 16 years of using this business product and make it happen. And sure enough, he's showing me glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. This last one, I'm going to tell you something about it, trusting God. Oh. With your kind permission, my wife, and we're going to close with this. In January of 2023, I was in my office. It was about 12:30 p.m. I prayed to God. Because I put two kids through college. And I borrowed every last dime of it. And I asked God for it. Didn't. And I expect to be paying that for the rest of my life. I went through, when we had this break in COVID, they told us we didn't have to pay. I was paying an average of $2,000 a month just to keep up with paying for college. And I said, well, some people during COVID, instead of them, because they weren't asked to pay, they were taking money, spending, going on vacations and stuff like this. I said, no, this is a great opportunity. I start paying down my debt. Paying it all down. But I expect the college bill to still be there. Right? And so because I'm getting closer to retirement, I was saying, okay, I'm going to trust God, but I'm going to clear everything else that I know I can do. Okay? And I said, Lord, I took out the loans, and I expect to pay them. But then I heard that there's something called mercy. You see, because I was feeding on healing. I'm constantly feeding on healing. You need to feed on things that you're dealing with. You need to feed from the Word of God. But then in the middle of it, there was a discussion about mercy, which means that you can pray and ask, Lord, for mercy. So I remember I was in my office, and I said, Holy Ghost, Father, I told him, I repented. I said, it was not you who told me to accumulate this debt. I took the committee this debt. I told him I saw a hindrance by having this debt and getting home or doing anything else. It used to hurt me in ministry. I couldn't give. Those who have been in our home right now, have been with us, and we've invited them to home, we couldn't do all that. Because we were always like, But what happened is this. I asked for mercy. Inside of Saturday, I received this letter from my service. And this thing came in the mail and said, you don't owe nothing. Two college degrees. Completely wiped out. Now, I'm not going to tell you the amount. Why? I'm not going to tell you the amount because I don't want you to compare your situation to me. You don't have your victory by quoting what happens to me.
Yeah.
You have your victory by getting the Word of God and speaking it forth.
Yes.
Now, interesting thing. Sometimes when you believe in God, you're going through the thing and you're speaking it forth, God may ask you to do some things. So in this particular case, what happened was, and I did this already before, but I didn't do it in faith. I filled out this paper, and I said, because I work at a nonprofit institution, it was a long time ago, I filled it out and nothing happened. But then in this particular case, I filled it out again. And as you know how doctors sometimes get loan forgiveness because they're doctors? Not a doctor. But somehow, some way, there was a provision that opened it up to me because I worked in a nonprofit organization.
Hallelujah.
And what happened? Paper came in, filled it out, sent it out. I did not expect for it to be wiped out. I expect them to realize that I've been paying all the time and they would reduce it. But when I get a letter telling me that it's all gone. What am I supposed to say? Glory to Jesus, right? Glory to Jesus. That doesn't mean you come to me asking for some loan right now because, you know. but you see, the thing is, that's the kind of God we have. Take no for
granted.
So now I need to prepare because I said, Lord, I want to be hospitable. Yes, I have a rented home right now. At some point, Lord, I don't know where it's going to come, but I need to have a home.
Yes.
And I'm going to believe God for a home.
Yeah.
Okay? Because if he can wipe out all of that, Pastor knows about if he can wipe out all of that, what else can he do? Praise
yes.
God.
Glory
praise
God.
God. Praise God. I hope you were blessed.
Yes.
And I hope you picked up those information and start reading some of this material. It's very important that you do so. Because when we pray, we need to be saying what God has told us to say through his word.
Amen.
We need to not be speaking differently than what God expects us to be speaking. Because if we start to speak differently than what our faith says, we nullify the prayers we just spoke.
That's true.
We don't want to nullify it.
That's right.
You know? All right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray. Praise God. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you touch each one of us. Each person here, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that what was said, Father, they get. Father, because we know the devil wants to try to steal the word, but that's okay. We believe that it will have good ground. They will take it, and they will run with it, and they will even add to it as they study the word themselves. Father, I thank you for this dear people, my family, Lord. And I pray you continue to bless them and keep them as we continue to be victorious, overcomers.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
yes. In this life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.